As I said, we had the sheet up again this year for graduates to sign up, and we had 11 names that were put on the list, and we're going to present Bibles to them at this time on behalf of Fairview Memorial. We had four that managed to make it through kindergarten this year. And I'm going to call your names, and when your name is called, would you please come up? And if we call someone's name and they're not here, if someone would like to come up and receive their Bible form, then please do that. We have first on our list, Kimberly Hood. Bless you, Kimberly. Good job. Kaylee Copas. Bless you, Kaylee. Good job, honey. Caden Cherry. Good job, Caden. Way to go, buddy. And Emery Ford. We'll get Emery's to her later then. All right, we had two that made it through elementary school. Michaela Bolton. And Hannah Thomas. Bless you, Hannah. Good job. We had one that graduated eighth grade and will be making the big step into high school next year, Sister Maddie Jo Hayes. Good job, Maddie Jo. Are you scared?
No.
All right, we have two high school graduates, Stephanie Johnson. Stephanie. And Jonathan Scott. Good job, Jonathan. Bless you. And we have two college graduates, Nathan Jackson. And Melissa Painter. Bless you. Good job. I'd like to ask that we give them all a big hand. I'd like to call your attention to some scripture found in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. If you would like to read with me, please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to begin reading with verse 17. I guess that I'll maybe go ahead and and make this statement here before I begin. Brother Wheat said in Sunday school, I believe maybe he mentioned this last week as well in his Sunday school lesson, that sometimes people have a tendency to want to shoot the messenger for the message. Well, you might do that today. I guess if you do, you got a big target. But, you know, I don't have any desire. I know that I've told this to you before. I don't have any desire when I come here and stand before you to bring to you anything other than what the Lord wants me to bring. And so you remember me today in your prayers. Beginning with verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's reading from Ephesians 4, verses 17, and completing that fourth chapter. The thought that I have today is grieving the Holy Spirit. All day yesterday, I just couldn't get that thought off of my mind. And had a hard time getting to sleep last night, honestly, thinking about that. Considering, I did a lot of soul searching, we might call it. Because, I've read that verse many times in my life. But I began to sit and meditate and think about that. And it really got next to me that I would be able to cause the Lord grief. So I want you to think about that today for just a little while. I'm sure that all of us in our lifetime, that we have known somebody that bothered us, that grieved us. I know that many times there's no question in my mind that many times that parents are grieved by their children. You know, we love our children, at least if you have children, you certainly ought to love them. We love our children and we want to see the best for them, but I know being a parent, I know that there have been times when my children did things that caused me grief. I'm well aware of the fact that when I was growing up, that I was guilty of the same thing. Or you may know somebody else, maybe a family member, a friend, a co-worker, someone that you try to perhaps reach in some way, try to maybe convince this person of something, and they just are always fighting you and always resistant to what you're trying to do. I believe that people that have worked in supervision in various places have been grieved a lot of times by those that they're trying to oversee. You know, they're trying to tell them this is the way we do it, and they're always, somebody's always wanting to fight them. And so among the human family, we grieve each other at times. We are burdensome and bothersome to each other, and I think that that's just true. I mean, that's just honesty. My wife sometimes, you know, if she's real busy trying to do something, if I get in the way, I'll say, "What's wrong, honey?" And she'll say, "You're bothering me. I'm trying to get this done, and you're just bothering me." And so I end up getting some yard work done or something. But, I mean, we do. We do. We grieve each other. I think sometimes, you know, among the people of God, among a church, you know, maybe one person might get grieved with another person over something. But we know that that is to be expected, I believe, and will be that way as long as we're here. But I believe that God also gets grieved. I want to look at a few verses of Scripture. I just made note of a few verses of Scripture other than the one here in Ephesians 4 and 30 that talk about that. Brother Wheat mentioned in his Sunday school lesson this morning how that God created the world and created people and created all things in the world. But there was a time after about 650 years approximately that God looked down upon His creation, upon mankind, and He did not like what He saw. And if we look in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, this was what God said when He saw that. When He saw that they were evil, that they were inclined to doing evil, that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was on evil, only evil continually, Genesis 6 and 6 tells us it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. Now this word grief, you know, I know and realize that many words that we have in the English translations of the Bible, when they were translated from the original Greek, you know, had a different meaning in Old English than what we use today. But this word, from what I have been able to understand in my research, when Paul here spoke about not grieving the Holy Spirit, it basically, that word basically means the same, meant the same thing then that it means to us today. It means don't bring sorrow or sadness to the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve Him in that way. And when God looked down there upon His creation and saw their evil inclinations, it brought sorrow to Him and sadness to Him that they were acting the way that they were and doing the things that they were doing. And I think sometimes that we may overlook that, sometimes that perhaps we fail to consider that God is moved by things, that God does feel things, that God is affected by things. And so the Bible told us that it grieved God at His heart that He had made man when He saw what they were guilty of. We read about in the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 3, in two verses there, verse 10 and verse 17. We read there in these verses about how that God was grieved with the children of Israel. And it says that He, in Hebrews 3 and 10, that He was grieved with that generation and said, "They do always err in their heart and have not known My ways." And in the 17th verse of that same chapter, the question is asked, "But with whom was He grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" And so we have these verses here, these few verses, along with what Paul wrote there in Ephesians 4, talking about the fact that God does at times become grieved with people. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I believe today. You may have a different view of this. I don't know, but I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that God today is grieved with the United States of America. I believe that God today is grieved with our country. I believe that when He looks at the things that we have forsaken, the godliness, the godly principles that through the years that this country, this nation of people has forsaken and has left behind, that God is grieved at what He sees. I know and am persuaded that God is grieved every time that someone that is lost, when God deals with that person's heart to draw them to Him, that they might be saved, and they reject that, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ and push Him away, I know that God is grieved with that. Because He sent His only begotten Son into this world, and He suffered far more than what we're ever going to even be able to understand. He suffered and He died for all people to be saved. And I know it grieves God at His heart when somebody rejects His Son and pushes that person or pushes Him away. I want you to think with me for a moment, and I want to talk here for a while to those of us who are saved, because that's who Paul was writing to. When Paul was writing here in the epistle to the Ephesians, he wasn't writing to the nation of Israel. It is important, and I've heard this all my life, and I believe that it is important when you study the Bible to consider who was doing the talking, to consider who they were talking to and what they were talking about. And the Apostle Paul here in this epistle, he wasn't talking to the nation of Israel as a whole. He wasn't talking to the lost world, but he was addressing people who were saved. He was addressing the church at Ephesus, and it was to them that he wrote and said, "Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't cause grief to the Lord. Don't cause sadness or sorrow in the heart of God." Well, how is it today that we as the people of God would be able to grieve the Lord, to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Well, I believe there's many ways that we can do that. I believe there are many things that we could do that would cause that to happen. But I hope that you will, this morning, that you will consider what I was speaking about and stop and think for just a moment. And perhaps you ought to precede those thoughts by thinking about how much that the Lord has done for you. I mean, you think about what God really did when He saved us. I mean, you could never get anything in the world any better than that. Nobody could ever do any more for you than that. Nobody could ever bless you that way. Nobody could ever do anything for you in this life that would equal what God did when He saved us. And so you think about everything that God has done for you, and then you think about, you know, that I may cause grief and sorrow and sadness in the heart of God. You know, sometimes, and I've experienced this being a pastor, sometimes through the years, people have, you know, said, well, what do you think? How do you think the church would feel about me doing that or not doing that? Or how do you think someone would react? You know, how bad of a thing do you think it is if I do this? How big of a deal do you really think it is if I decide to skip going to the house of God today and go do something else that I'm interested in doing? And you know, I've often thought, well, you know, certainly those are things to be considered, but you know what you really ought to do? You ought to ask God about it. Ask Him what He would think about it. You're not going to answer. You're not going to stand one day and answer to the pastor, or you're not going to stand one day and answer to the church, but we certainly will all answer to God, won't we? And so when we are contemplating those things, we ought to ask God what He thinks about it and how He feels about it. Because you know what? Whenever we do wrong, He's the one. I mean, He's going to hurt. You may not believe that, but I do. I believe that the things that God's children do affect Him the way that it affects parents, natural parents, when their children do wrong. Well, Paul here spoke about in these verses that I read, he said that we were not to walk the way that the other Gentiles walked. Listen, I want you to know something. When God saves a person, now those that walk the aisle and smile a while and just make a decision in their own self to just become a Christian, I don't think that changes that person a bit. I really don't. I don't think it changes them. But I believe God changes people when He saves them. There's no inward change that takes place when we decide to do things on our own, because we don't have the power within us to affect the soul. We just don't have that power, but God does. And I'll tell you, when God saves a soul, He changes that person. He gives them a new nature. He gives them new desires. And a person that has truly been saved by the grace of God inwardly won't desire those things that they did before. Now, I can tell you that by experience. When God saved me, thank God He changed me. He changed me. I didn't see things the way that I had seen things before. Things that I thought were so important before didn't seem to be so important to me anymore. There were things in my life when God saved my soul, there were things in my life, I mean immediately, that I just wanted to get rid of. I didn't want to have those things anymore. I didn't want to have that type of association anymore. God wrought a change in me, folks, when He saved me, and thank God He did, because nobody else would have ever got it done. People used to say, oh, you'll meet some girl someday and she'll change you. Nobody would have ever changed me the way that God changed me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when God saves us from our sins, He expects us to walk and live our lives like we are saved people, doesn't He? I didn't say He would like for us to do that. He expects us to do that. And that's what Paul was writing about here leading up to this verse about grieving the Holy Spirit of God. He said, put off that old man. Romans chapter 6, I believe it is, asks the question, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We have been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Listen, in case anybody has forgotten, and perhaps we need to be reminded of things from time to time, but when I went into the waters of baptism, when I went before the church and professed to them that I had been saved by God's grace, and I petitioned membership into the Lord's church, when I went to the waters of baptism, when that preacher, that elder took me out there and put me under the water, I was testifying to the world that I had died to sin. And when He brought me up out of the water, I was testifying to the world that I was going to walk in newness of life. And that's exactly what that beautiful ordinance shows us, that there has been a death to sin, that there has been a resurrection to walk. And after we have been saved, we need to live our lives differently than what we did before. You hath He quickened, Ephesians chapter 2. You hath He quickened. You hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we used to be. Listen, we're not children of God by nature. We're children of the devil by nature. We're children of wrath by nature. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. What are we, people? Those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, what does the Bible say that we are? It says that we are His workmanship. Now, when I got saved, I didn't just decide to, that I would become a Christian. I just didn't just decide that in myself. When I got saved, God worked on me. He worked on me. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's a lot of people in the world today that believe that we are the children of God because God created us. But we're not. We all belong to Him. I mean, God certainly has authority and control over every breath that we breathe. But I didn't get to be a child of God through natural creation. I became a child of God through being created in Christ Jesus. Spiritually created, spiritually made anew. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Paul here writing to the Ephesians, he said, put off the old man. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's saying, writing to the Ephesians and saying, listen, folks, if you're going to talk the talk, then walk the walk. If you're going to profess Christ, then live Christ. If you're going to profess to be a child of God, then live like a child of God. Put those old nasty things away and put on that new nature and walk and live in that way. Don't be angry. Sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Do not give place to the devil. Listen, you know why the devil gets in so often and messes things up in the Lord's churches? It's because we give way to him. We give him room. We give him place. And as the old saying goes, give the devil an inch and he'll become a ruler. Paul said, don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Stop all that old stuff that you did before and live after that new nature. Live the way that Christ would have you to live. Walk the way that he would have you to walk. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, when I was a young boy, I used to sit among churches just like this one. And you know, I thank God for them, for every one of them. I used to sit among churches just like Fairview Memorial. I went to churches that up there in Indiana that had the same set of doctrinal beliefs, the same practices, just like this church has today, and preached the same truth that Fairview Memorial still upholds and preaches today. And among those people, there was a time in my life when there was an invisible force that began to work on me. There was someone that I couldn't see, but I knew that he was there. He came and he began to make known unto me that there was something wrong with me, that there was something that was not right down in my heart. You know who did that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You know what's really wrong with this watered down evangelism that we see in our world today? It's not just a matter of terminology. It's not just that some people are saying to other people, you need to accept the Lord. It's not just a question of the fact that, it's not really us that accept the Lord, but it's the Lord that accepts us. I'll tell you what the biggest problem with it is that the work of the Holy Spirit of God on the souls of people are taken out of it. That's the real problem, because salvation's of the Lord. And that the Holy Spirit made it known to me that I was lost, and I felt a tugging, a drawing towards God. I felt that invisible force letting me know that I needed to be saved. And you know who was doing that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Well, late one night, I got down on my knees and I cried out to God, and I was praying and I was crying and I was hurting and I was sorrowful, and all of a sudden, I knew I was saved. I knew that I was saved. And you know who told me? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. When I got saved, I've told you before, when I got saved, I wasn't even in church. If I would have been dependent upon a preacher or some other type of counselor to tell me what had happened, folks, I would have been in big trouble, because there was nobody there. But there was a voice that spoke to me and let me know that I was saved, and it was the Holy Spirit of God that did that. There was a time when I was standing on my job early in the year of 1981, and a voice spoke to me again and made it known unto me that I was to preach the gospel. You know who that was? The Holy Spirit. You see, God deals with us through the person, and he's not a thing, he's a person. God deals with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, when God asks us to do something, and we've all made the testimonies and we've all heard the testimonies. Well, I was sitting in church today and God asked me to do something and I didn't do it. I just didn't do it. And I went home. And you know what? Sometimes we're able to make those confessions without even the slightest hint of sorrow. I mean, that's how it seems, doesn't it? But you know what? When we know that we have disobeyed God, it ought to hurt us. It ought to cause us down in our heart to sorrow and to repent, because we have grieved the Holy Spirit of God. Grieved Him. Brought sorrow to the one. And I love what Paul put in the verse. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The one that has sealed you unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve Him. Boy, we're really good at, you know, I've heard it said so many times, revival services going on or just Sunday service going on, and God, get a hold of the preacher and liberate him. And, you know, incidentally, that's another thing. I want you to know something today. I have never stood behind a pulpit and said anything that did anybody any good unless the Holy Spirit of God was in the message. Now, I believe that. You can believe it or not believe it, but I believe that the Holy Spirit of God has to be in the preaching for it to be effective. And so we have service and the preacher gets fired up and he begins to preach to the lost, and God helps the preacher to preach a powerful message to them that are lost. And then somebody comes along and they say, boy, I don't know how they could have handled that. I don't know how they could have sat still under that type of preaching. I don't know how with such a powerful message. I don't know how it was that, you know, the lost just couldn't, you know, could fight that. And I want you to say this, not to lessen your responsibility at all. If you're here today and you're lost, yes, you need to seek the Lord. But we say those things, and yet the preacher gets liberated and he preaches to the church about the way that we ought to live. Well, why doesn't it bring us down? Why doesn't it bring us down before God? Why doesn't it bring us to the altar, repenting of our sins before God? God in heaven has blessed my life. Been so good to me. So good to me. Bless me with many good things here on the earth. Bless me with a good wife. Bless me with children, grandchildren. God's been good to me. And yet, at times, I know that I've made Him sad. And when I really think about it, when I really stop and think about it, that's a rather difficult thing to live with. That we would wound the heart of a holy, loving, gracious God. Paul said, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm telling you, friends, you may just have to sit patient for a little while this morning. But I'm telling you, we need the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. We need Holy Ghost power in our churches. I'm afraid too often we lack it today. That was one of the things that really plagued David. I'll tell you what, David was a man after God's own heart, but God was not pleased with David for some of the things he did in his life. God was not pleased with David for what he did with Bathsheba. He was not pleased with his servant David in the sins he committed, trying to cover that up, trying to cover up his sins. Listen, there's two things that we can do. We can either grieve God at His heart, or we can please the Lord. God wasn't pleased with David. And when he sent the prophet Nathan to him to make it known unto him that he wasn't pleased with him, you know what one of the first things David did when he began to repent before the Lord? He begged God not to take his Holy Spirit from him. Now, what did that mean? That he would lose his salvation? No. No. He didn't want to lose the dealings of God with him in his life through the Holy Spirit. He didn't want God to withdraw that from him. He didn't want God to stop leading him. And listen, if we're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit manifest among us, then we're going to have to live our lives obedient to the Lord, because he's not going to dwell with us in that way with a bunch of disobedient people. He won't do it. We've got to walk after the new nature in order to have the blessings of God. I'll tell you what, if we don't, we're not going to have much of a revival. But if we'll please the Lord, everything is possible, isn't it? I mean, there have been people that have experienced some wonderful things in life. You know why? Because their lives pleased the Lord. To be willing, to be submissive, to dare to be different in this world, to live our lives the way that God would have us to live our lives, to be willing to do the things that God would tell us to do, because remember, they that are led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God. God will lead us and direct us by His Spirit and tell us what that He would have us to do. I guess I'm done. But I appreciate you listening today, and I hope that something has been helpful to you in some way.